Our meditation this morning is based on the three verses that John just read from the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Luke 8, verse 16, 17, and 18. These three verses follow directly upon the parable of the sower and the seed and the soil on which that seed falls. And they continue the emphasis of that parable on the Word of God. Verse 16 in our text contrasts light with darkness, and in so doing, it anticipates the Great Commission and the going forth of the gospel to all nations. Verse 17 of our text contrasts things hidden with things revealed, and in so doing, it anticipates the full New Testament revelation of the gospel in the New Testament scriptures. Verse 18 of our text contrasts abundance with poverty or want, and it anticipates the all-important focus on the word of the gospel. The text before us is brief. It is simple, and it deals with the fundamental matter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 16 of our text could be a parable if it had a little more story content. It's probably best to think of it as an allegory or a metaphor or a simile. But whatever we call it, it is a simple truism based on common sense, the logic of which everyone can immediately see. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed. He puts it on a lampstand in order that all those who come in may see the light. We do not light candles to make things darker. It is because things are already too dark that we light candles. We do not light a candle and then hide it under something to blot out its light. It takes no special revelation from God to see this obvious truth. We get the point naturally, by natural revelation. It only stands to reason. But verse 17 takes us away from the sphere of natural knowledge and reason and leads us to that which is mysterious, a secret, a paradox. The verses which lie just before those of our text concern the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "It's granted to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest I speak in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." To some, the kingdom of God is revealed. To others, it remains a mystery, and therefore a secret. In verse 17, our Lord tells us that all secrets will be made known, for there is nothing hidden that shall not become evident. Now, what are these secrets that our Lord is referring to that are going to be made known? And is it not the very nature of a secret not to be known? If it's known, it's no secret. What is perfectly obvious to us regarding putting candles, lighting candles and putting them on a candlestick in verse 16 becomes a paradox in verse 17. In reference to that which is hidden and that which is revealed. What our Lord is saying in verse 17 can be taken in two ways. Perhaps he's speaking of the dark secrets which we sinful men think to hide in our hearts from others and even from God. If so, we know that God's law can and will shine its brilliant light into such dark secrets and reveal their evil motives. But perhaps Jesus is speaking of God's own secrets, which he will reveal to us in his good time. You see, God also has his secrets. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Deuteronomy 29:29. If this is Jesus' meaning, the secret things to be revealed are those things which pertain to the revelation of his gospel. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, Paul speaks about the revelation of the mystery of Christ and the revelation of the mystery of his church. These mysteries were not known formerly because they had been kept secret by God. Verse 18 of our text has a distinct gospel ring to it, with an emphasis on our hearing the word of God. Therefore, take care how you listen. The first disciples of Jesus were to heed how they heard the words of Jesus. And the reference is back to the parable of the sower going forth to sow seed, and the different kinds of soil which receive that seed. And we're told in verse 11 of Luke 8 that the seed was the word of God. This focus on God's word precedes the three verses of our text. And immediately after our text, there is recorded the attempts of Jesus' mother and his brethren to approach him. Note how Jesus reacts to these attempts, and note how he identifies his mother and his brethren. He answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." This is not a pietist speaking. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Note again the emphasis on the word of God, the hearing of it, and the doing of it. So what is the application of this text this morning for our seminary community? Verse 16 simply tells us we're not meant to hide our light after we have been enlightened by the hearing of the word of God. It's dark out there in this present evil world. Satan, the prince of darkness, is working hard. He's working overtime to extend his kingdom of darkness. Against this background, St. Matthew tells us in his gospel, "We are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine, therefore, before men, that they may see your good works," hearing it and doing it, "that they may see your good works and glorify not you, but your Father which is in heaven." And verse 17 of our text encourages us in this task of letting the gospel light shine by reminding us that the light of the gospel will eventually dispel the darkness of this present evil world. "For there is nothing hidden which shall not become evident." It may take some time yet, but that day will come, and we are on the winning side. And verse 18 leaves us with the charge that you and I, all of us, need to hear as this spring quarter of our academic year is about to begin. This is the admonition that we need if the gospel task is to go forth as our Lord intends it to do. We are to take care of how we listen to God's word, both here in the chapel services and over there in the classrooms. The very word you are called to hear on this campus is not the wisdom of men. It is the very word of God. And Jesus is not fooled, and he will not be fooled. Those who carefully hear and receive his word will continue to be blessed with an ever-increasing knowledge of that word. But those who hear as though it really didn't matter, even that which they hear and they think they have, eventually will be taken away from them. In the matter of hearing God's word, the rich are blessed with increasing riches, and the poor lose even that which they possess. And this is God's doing. We have God's word for it. Therefore, take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. After all, it is God's word. And it's his to give. And if it's his to give, it's also his to take away. As our spring quarter commences, let us again focus our sights and our thoughts on the sure word of God, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we look around at the darkness on all sides, we cannot help but see the urgent need for lifting up the gospel and letting it shine forth. As we listen to God's word with diligence, God himself will cause us to shine forth with the revelation of this gospel word. The thematic verse for this quinquagesima week in our chapel is true indeed. All things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man both are and also will be accomplished. Amen.